Essarra's First Minister, Peter Robinson, has said Ian Paisley was a colossus, an inspiring politician with a great sense of fun.
He could capture an audience the moment he stood up and started speaking at a microphone. As soon as he came into a room, all eyes turned in his direction. Even his most formidable enemies, he could talk to, he could joke with, recognise that on a personal basis that he was quite an exceptional individual.
Security services in Pakistan have arrested 10 people on suspicion of planning and carrying out the attack on teenage campaigner Malala Yousafzai. A military spokesman said the group had been working for the chief of the Pakistani Taliban. Malala, who now lives in Birmingham, was shot in the head as she called for all girls in the country to have the right to education. Oscar Pistorius has been remanded on bail for a month when he'll be sentenced for the manslaughter of his girlfriend. A judge cleared him of murder, but said he did act negligently when firing the shots which killed Reva Steenkamp. A coroner has ruled the death of nurse Jacintha Saldana, who fell for a hoax call for the Duchess of Cambridge, was suicide. One of the Australian DJs who made the call, Melanie Grigg, has apologised to her family at the inquest, tearfully saying she was truly sorry. BBC WM has discovered that a controversial taxi booking app could be coming to Birmingham. Concerns of cabbies in the city who say they'll go to court if the system called Uber is launched include unlicensed drivers being contacted without checks being put into place. The Uber app is up and running in London but has resulted in the Licensed Taxi Drivers Association, where Steve McNamara is secretary, launching legal proceedings.
Uber, a massive American conglomerate. They're here to make massive profit. You've only got to look on Twitter or any other social media to look at the thousands, and I mean thousands of complaints of the way Uber operates. Take it from me, Uber is a bad thing for the Midlands.
Birmingham Dogs Home says it will do all it can to support their colleagues in Manchester after a fire there led to 60 dogs being killed. A 14-year-old boy has been arrested on suspicion of arson. Alanya Warner from Birmingham Dogs Home has told BBC WM what they're offering.
We're going to contact them this morning and say that if you need any dogs, help with any dogs, we're going to take them for them if you need to. Obviously, it's very difficult to know what they're going to need because it's such a substantial problem that we'll just basically say to them, whatever we can do, we will help them any way we can.
And the actor John Barden, best known for his role as Jim Branning in EastEnders, has died at the age of 75. He passed away in the early hours of this morning, 7 years after a stroke, which had led to him needing round-the-clock care in recent years. Looking at the weather, dry for the rest of this afternoon, sunny spells, highs of 21 Celsius, that's 70 Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Thank you, boss.
In Lee.
On BBC WM
95.6,
the voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
So, here's a new chapter in all of our lives. Welcome. I hope you enjoy. This is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Those of you eagle-eared listeners will know I'm normally on Saturdays between 9 and 12 in the morning. Well, guess what? The suckers here, and I said suckers, have given me an extra 2 hours on a Friday. 2 till 4, every Friday. This is us. It's me and producer Joe, kind of, I don't know, just sitting here. Now, the way this show works, let me just explain the rules very slightly, then we'll get into it for those new. The way this works is I will sit here and I will spout stuff. You are welcome to call in at any point you want. You can text and you can email. You know what? That's kind of fine. But it works best if you phone in. I'll give you the number in a second. I know you probably know it even better than me because you're regular listeners. But I will sit here and I will talk about bits and pieces. Today we're talking about men crying, books and, burnt dogs. But you can call in about pretty much anything else that you want to. Anything else you want to. It's kind of like, the way I like to treat this, it's kind of like we're down the pub. I don't drink. That's none of your business. Or we're out somewhere and we're having a chat. Now, when you're having a chat with someone, you don't go, okay, guys, I've got three things I want to talk about in the next 2 hours. First of all, I want to talk about dogs. Then I was thinking at 22, maybe we could talk. It's kind of not how we like to do things here. I will throw stuff out, but you are welcome to join in with anything you want. The phone number, 03453-00956. 03453-00956. The first thing, this horrible incident at Manchester Dogs Home, There's been a big fire. 40 animals have died in the fire. It's been horrific. I can't think. I imagine the scene. I don't want to imagine it too much. I imagine the scene was flipping horrible. Flipping horrible. £500,000 or thereabouts has been raised for the dog home. It's been donated online. People were driving from hundreds of miles to go and rescue the dogs. No, people were driving a lot. People were driving a long distance. People were driving seriously, people were driving across the country to go to this place. Hundreds of people drove hundreds of miles, correct. And it's kind of got me thinking, why in this country do we seem to do more for animals than we do for people? I'm not in any way demeaning what's happened. It's horrible. It's horrible. But, in the great scheme of things, really? I mean, we kill animals to eat every day. £500,000 has been raised in a morning? 03453 009956. Why do we as a nation seem to prioritise animals over humans? James is in Edgbaston. Afternoon, James.
And good morning to you as well, Ian. How are you? Good afternoon.
I'm confused as well. Good evening to you, sir. What have you got for us?
I just want to veer away from the dog fire.
Yeah.
At the moment, I just think that in this country, in the UK, I think we've always been very charitable. I think we, as a country, we step up to the plate at times of need, to be honest. That's my own personal opinion, really. And I think whatever the incident is,
yeah,
I think as a community and as society, we always step up, like if it be Islamic Relief or there's been an earthquake. Or
but a fire in a dog. Hey, you know there are starving children in this country?
Yes.
So why haven't we raised £500,000 for starving children this morning?
I haven't got the slightest idea. I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. I know.
Because, listen, I think my and it may sound like I'm being flippant. I'm really trying not to be. My position on animals has changed over the years. I was a vegetarian, James, for 25 years, OK? And I was kind of against animal testing. I was very pro-animal rights. I've started eating meat again this year. My thoughts on vivisection are evolving constantly. And I kind of just think, actually, humans are more important than animals, aren't they?
Correct. They are.
But then why as a nation do we seem to do more for animals than we do for humans?
It's like I said in the introduction, I just think that, we are a nation of animal lovers. There is a massive nation of animal lovers. I just think, at this time, people have come far and wide to help out with this great tragedy, really. I think that's what's happened.
You got any pets, James?
I haven't, but my family have, yeah.
What they got?
A dog.
Oh, flippin' heck. I just think that maybe it's because I'm a cat person. I don't get dogs.
Well, I don't get cats.
Well, you're wrong. I'm right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is why I listen to your show on a Saturday with great interest, and I go, shall I, shan't I? Because I know I could never win with you.
Well, James, listen, you had a go today, and it's appreciated. Thank you very much. 03-453-009956. We do more, we give more to animals than we do to humans. There are starving children in this country. Why haven't we raised £500,000 for them this morning? Man, this is the best song in the world ever. What a start.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings. Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream? Of me as a white knight on his steed. Now you know how happy I can be. Oh, and our good time starts and ends without dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need? Cheer up, sleepy
Literally the best song ever. You won't find a better song. Perfect. Perfect. Afternoon. This is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. We're talking about the fire at the dog's home and kind of it's been a big story. And there has been outrage and there has been upset, rightfully so. It's an horrific story. 40 animals have died in a fire. Although it says on my screen 40 animals have died, then it says 60 animals have died. Somewhere between 40 and 60 animals have died. We know that to be a fact. It must have been horrific. £500,000 has been raised in the first morning. Why do we care more about animals in this country than people? That's wrong, isn't it? I'm not saying this just to wind up all the animal people. Of course I'm not, although I'm sure some of you will get very upset by it. But it's wrong. We've got our priorities wrong. 03453 009956. Well, joined by someone who has been through a horrific experience, Karen Chamberlain. Afternoon, Karen.
Hello, Ian. How you doing, honey?
Very, very well. Nice. Now, if I remember correctly, we've spoken before, and you're completely bonkers, aren't you?
Absolutely,
good
babe.
For you.
And it's a Big Brother final tonight. I will be there. Make sure you're watching.
Oh, are you going to be at the Big Brother final?
Yeah, can't wait.
I'm going to be at the Big Brother final.
Oh, I'll see you there, babe.
I'm driving down straight after this.
Excellent.
Who's going to win Big Brother?
Well, I'm torn.
Go on.
Want James to win because he's good TV.
Oh, you are joking! He's the worst.
Yeah, but he's great. He's great on Big Brother, isn't he? He's a fantastic housemate.
He's a good villain. Yes,
I love George and I love Alds.
Oh, no, it's got to be Gary Busey.
No.
Got to be the Buse.
No.
Anyway, listen, we're going off on a tangent.
Yeah, sorry, babe.
We're talking about this fire that happened in Manchester. You have had a similar thing happen to you on a smaller scale.
Much smaller.
You've saved two of your dogs.
Yeah, we had a house fire. Come home, you know, fire alarm is sounding. Cannot get the key in the door quick enough. Oh, my God, the dogs. Straight out into the kitchen. Could not see, just filled. When I say filled with black smoke, I mean, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face.
Was it filled with black smoke?
Filled with black smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tried to open the back patio door, and I tripped over my puppy Tia, who was 10 months old at the time. And I thought she was dead. And I've just picked her up, I'm shaking her, threw her out the door, grabbed Lola, couldn't find my Ricky, couldn't see him. At that point...
Couldn't find your what, sorry?
My Ricky, my other dog,
Ricky?
Bless
okay,
him,
mate.
My little Rick. Yeah. And so I remember throwing Lola and Tia onto the decking.
Yeah.
But I'm asthmatic. By this time, I'm choking. I'm dying on the floor.
Yeah.
And I can remember shouting to my neighbour, fire, fire. And he literally leaped 2 6-foot fences.
Wow.
And the fire brigade were 2 minutes away. They were 2 minutes around the corner. So we were very lucky. I managed to save Lola and Tia. They came straight in, pure oxygen, helped them.
No, hang on a second. Did you give your dogs mouth to mouth?
Yeah, absolutely.
You actually gave your dogs mouth to mouth?
Ian, if it was your children, your family...
Yeah, if it was my children, yeah.
Your cat, you would do it. I swear to God, you would do it if you were there.
You've got me on a technicality. If it was Velvet, my cat, then
yes,
yeah.
Yes, you would.
I would.
And it doesn't matter if they're human cats, gerbils, whatever. If you love that thing that's in that house, your first response is to save it. I didn't think about me. I didn't think who was behind me.
So how did you do it? Did you pinch the dog's nose and then kind of put...
Yeah, I didn't know about pinching the... I don't remember that. I just remember...
Just went straight in there.
...clasping and... And I remember taking my inhaler, which I tended to keep in my bra most days, and shoving it in my mouth. Because I was, could hardly breathe myself, and then was trying to get it into their mouth.
I am getting an information overload. So,
yeah, sorry, babe.
No, let's just try and break this down. So, you're giving your dogs the kiss of life, then you're reaching into your bra...
to get my inhaler.
To get your inhaler to save your life. And then you're putting the inhaler in the dog's mouth.
Yeah, because I was just thinking it's got to help them. I mean, I could, if I try and rationalise it, there wasn't that.
No.
You just do what you had to do.
My tongue is in my cheek, but you're right. If it was my if it was my little cat, then I would probably have done very similar things.
Exactly.
Because they're an important part of my life. Yeah.
We were lucky. We straight to the fire brigade, just took us straight to the vets, just down the hill.
Wow.
They phoned Royal Veterinary College and they just said, bring them now. You have to wash them there.
Yeah.
So they washed them. And they came walking out, and I was really shocked.
Yeah.
By this time, I found out that my Rick didn't make it.
Oh, mate.
Emosh.
And
we had to drive 2 hours to the Royal Veterinary College to have them sorted out. Well, they walked in there. They were quite poorly. They walked in.
Yeah.
And then they said, go home, because they said, look at the state of you. Are you all right? They're giving me oxygen and the dogs.
Oh, blimey.
You know, and I'm being treated by the vet, and the other vet did it, and I was like, oh my God, this is madness. And it was so surreal. And I looked in the mirror, and I was just black, completely black, covered head to foot in soot. Anyway, so they were in there for 2 weeks. We went every day to visit them, and they said, they're not going to make it. We don't think they're going to make the night. And I think I was up there at 7 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep, just drove straight up there. And they were so ill. They just about, on the next day, they managed just to open their eyes. And but every day it improved. But it took me a whole year to get them well, and 14 grand. I was insured, thank God, but 14 grand worth of care. So I didn't cover all of it.
I can hear, Karen, that this is still affecting you now emotionally.
Yeah, it was eight, nine years ago. She said, trying to take a deep breath. It was the worst, one of the worst.
Get your hand inside your bra, love. Get your inhaler out.
Yeah, get your inhaler out. Oh, it was one of the worst traumas of my life. I actually got post-traumatic stress afterwards.
Blimey.
I mean, how crazy is that?
Why do we... Now, listen, why do we as a nation, Karen, we do seem to care more about animals than we do for humans.
I don't know about care for animals more. I think it needs to be more equal. I work
Why does it need to be equal?
Because I think there's... We work a lot with Wet Nose Animal Aid, and we want a dog day or an animal day on TV. Like the Red Nose,
what?
We wear little black noses, little foam noses.
Yeah.
Because there isn't enough done for doggy charities or animal charities.
There's loads done for doggy charities.
Not on the TV. We need millions and millions.
For
you
what?
You know, Comic Relief raised $50 million in the first few hours.
Yeah.
And we just... And I was just saying, it needs a percentage of it. People struggle, the dogs, you know, in... You know... People are finding it hard with money, can't afford to feed their dogs, you know, let alone their kids as well. And I think tough times, you know, charities are suffering all over.
But you'd agree, though, wouldn't you, Karen, that the money that Comic Relief, that goes to feed, like, loads of starving kids in Africa, that's more important than
No, I'm not saying it's more important. I'm just saying I think animals deserve a share of everything. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking cancer aid, I'm not knocking dementia.
I'm glad, because I'd be in terrible trouble if you did.
You know, exactly. My mum died of Alzheimer's. You know, I support both their charities.
Yeah.
But animals can't talk for themselves. I think it's more important that sometimes humans look after yourself, but you also look after your animals too. It's about balance. It's not about whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's about balance.
Karen,
and I just think, you know.
It's nice to talk to you. If you see me at Big Brother, give me a shout. Don't come anywhere near me, though, OK? See you later on. Thank you, Karen. Ta-ta.
To sort your mildew out, just trim some of those branches out to get air. Oh, yeah. Have you not got a ladder?
Don't mind pimping Phil out. £15.
A day.
That's true.
Molly Green.
Saturdays, 6 till 9. BBC WM.
95.6.
03453 00956. Well, Karen Chamberlain there thinks that dogs and animals should get a slice of Comic Relief. No, that is... I mean, she's delightful and wonderful. But that's nuts, isn't it? Starving kids in Africa are more important than Old English sheepdogs and terriers, aren't they? That seems obvious to me, Alan.
Good afternoon, Ian.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Welcome to Friday.
Thank you very much indeed. Welcome to the real world.
I've got a big brother prediction for you before I go on about animals.
Didn't get any of those words, but never mind.
I've got a big brother prediction for you.
Big brother prediction, okay.
It's going to be Whitey third, James Jordan second, and Audley Harrison to win.
You think it's going to be Audley the boxer to win Big Brother?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. I think you're wrong, but let's see what happens.
On the respectable commercial channel tonight.
Again, not much there. Alan, what did you want to say about dogs?
My mum and dad have got a lovely Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
There's no such thing as a lovely Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Yeah, they're very lovely. She'll lick you to death, and she gives me a kiss as well.
Is this your auntie or the dog?
for dogs.
No, you see, I think that's inappropriate.
No, see, that would have been trained that way.
But supposing that dog was to turn, Alan, and bite you severely?
And then I would tell me mom and dad would have to tell the dog off.
Yeah, tell the dog off, right. OK, that'll be good, isn't it?
She's 14.
Yeah.
That's his old age.
So what, would they put it down?
No.
Just tell it off. Yeah, don't bite Alan again. He's not a hamburger, although he may look like one.
I don't know what I look like, Ian.
Well, Alan, I can just imagine. Thank you very much indeed. 03453 009956. Why do we care more for animals than we do for human beings? Millie's in Aston. Afternoon, Millie.
Good afternoon, Ian.
What would you like to say?
Right. Animals cannot talk.
Correct. They're animals.
Now, I have my cat, yeah?
Yeah.
And when I'm going away, I always say to Robert or the others, make sure the cat is outside.
Who is Robert?
My son, my baby.
Okay.
Make sure that Tigger is outside.
Tigger's the cat?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, in case that you leave Tigger in the house and because a fire could come from anywhere, next door could have a fire or you could have electrical fall, yeah? Something could happen.
So hang on, if you're away, what, for a week, the cat has to stay outside for a week?
You got his house. You got a house.
The cat's got a house?
Yeah, he got his cat house outside.
I've never heard of a cat house. I've heard of kennels, but I've never heard of a cat house.
Oh, so don't you see the pet shop with the cat houses outside?
No, I don't think I've ever seen...
Having a laugh where you live?
No, well, I've got a cat and I've been to pet shops.
You never give your cat a cat house?
No, it lives in my house.
So when it's raining, yeah? And the cat is in the garden.
It comes in through
the
cat...
You are not there. Yeah. Listen, you are not there to let the cat in.
Yeah.
The cat will be drenched.
No, we've got a cat flap.
Well, I don't want the cat flap.
Oh, we've got a cat flap.
I've got a cat house.
Well, I've got a cat flap.
I've got a cat house at the back and a cat house to the front.
So you got two cat houses?
Yeah, that in case the rain comes and she's at the back garden, she can run into her house at the back.
Get a cat flap, then they can just come into your house.
A cat house? Ian, go to the pet shop and see the cat houses there.
I've got a cat flap.
Well, you got the flap. I don't want the flap. I got the house. What? You please yourself, I please mine.
I'm pleasing myself. So,
no,
okay,
that's
so
right.
Okay, so what
oh, listen now.
Oh dear.
You're talking dear. You're talking about the children in Africa, yeah?
Yes.
Right. At the end of the day, the children in Africa have parents, yeah? An animal do not have a parent to feed it. It's a cat, it's an animal that can't work.
Cats are wild animals. They can hunt for themselves. If you didn't feed your cat would be fine. It would go out mousing.
You're having a laugh. You think all cats eat mice? They see the mice and they ignore them?
But hang on, Millie, you're not seriously saying, are you,
yeah,
that a starving baby in Africa is less
That's
important
not my problem.
Than...
My problem is my cat.
It's not your problem.
My cat is my pet, yeah?
So you would rather... Okay,
let me just... I could have my cat on my lap.
Yeah.
And I could stroke my cat.
Yeah.
And talk to Tigger. Tigger, right. You're all right. And meow. Yeah. The child in Africa is far from me.
Okay. So just a minute.
Listen, we got Rottweilers, yeah? My son, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wouldn't be nice to know that those animals were burnt to death. That person that did that should be locked up.
Well, there's an investigation going on into that, so I don't really want to... But just
I'll
very quickly...
All right.
Millie,
at the end of the day,
yes, just very quickly, Millie, because I've got to play a song.
Hang on. You never ran that woman that was on 2 minutes before me. It's a couple of days.
Yeah, I've got to play Fleetwood Mac.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Half past you goes into the thingy, Bob, yeah? It's 24 minutes.
Yeah, I've got to play a song that's 3 minutes 37.
Hang on a bit, yeah? Animals are there for you to look after them, right? You hear me, Ian?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you
Right, hang on. You look after that cat.
Yes.
You would like to know your cat was burnt to death in your house.
I think a starving child in Africa is more important than my cat. Do you agree? Yes
parents.
Or no? That's the problem for the parents. Wow. Loving you isn't the right
your own way. Go.
Oh, man, we're only 30 minutes into the first Friday show and it's kicking off already. Yes, that Millie there. Cats are more important than starving children in Africa. She can stroke cats. And that's what's wrong with this, isn't it? Of course cats aren't more important than starving children in Africa. 03453 009956. Why in this country do we seem to be more concerned about animals than we are about humans? Right, it's BBC WM 95.6. Let's get the travel news. Here's Liz Saul. Liz.
Unfortunately not, Liz.
Oh, who is this?
It's Adam Crowther.
Oh, Adam Crowther. listen, it's my first Friday.
I would have just gone with it, but I don't sound too much like Liz.
You hesitated for a second as though you were going to try the voice, and I respect you for that. Adam, I do apologise. away you go, sir.
At the M6 southbound, two lanes blocked, junction 14 to 13, Stafford north to south. That's due to a broken down vehicle that's stranded. Only lane 3 open, so that's causing quite a lot of delay already for a Friday afternoon. The M5 northbound lane, one of the threes blocked there due to a broken down vehicle. 5 up to 4A for the M42, not helped by the roadworks there either. And on the M42 north, between junction 3 at Redditch up towards junction 4 at Shirley and Dorridge, remains quite slow at the M42-M40 split. And if you're making your way through Birmingham city centre, a little busy for you out from Five Ways Island to the Hagley Road, just out towards the Harborne Road, Westbourne Road turn, really. And then it's busy on the trains as well. Cross Country, Virgin, London Midland and Arriva Trains Well services that head out of New Street to Wolverhampton are being delayed by some overhead line problems at Dudley Port. If you can update us, call BBC WM95.6 Travel on 08453 00288.
Thank you very much.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM95.6.
It's 2:30. Let's get the news now. Here's Rob Mayer.
Good afternoon. Tributes have been paid to the former leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, Dr. Ian Paisley, who's died at the age of 88. For decades, he led opposition to cooperation with the IRA in Northern Ireland, but later he went into devolved government as First Minister, with former IRA man Martin McGuinness as his deputy. The Pakistani army says it's captured a group of gunmen who it alleges tried to kill the schoolgirl campaigner Malala Yousafzai. The teenager, who now lives in Birmingham, was shot in the head as she fought for girls' rights to have access to education in Pakistan. Oscar Pistorius has been released on bail after being found guilty of culpable homicide or manslaughter. The judge found he was negligent in firing the shots which killed his girlfriend Reva Steenkamp. He'll be sentenced next month. And black cab drivers in Birmingham have exclusively told the BBC they'll go to court to stop a new mobile phone-based service coming to the city. Uber is an app which lets you book a taxi, and cab drivers in London went on strike because of it. Looking at the weather, dry for the rest of the day, sunny spells, highs of 21 Celsius, that's 70 Fahrenheit, a mixture of cloudy patches and clear spells tonight, lows of 10 Celsius, that's 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country, BBC WM 95.6.
Hey. 30 minutes into the first Friday show, 2 till 4. This is Ian Lee, by the way. Thank you. And it's kicked off. We're talking... the point of conversation has started about this horrific fire in the Dog's Home in Manchester. And we are talking about, do we care more about animals? Or why do we care more about animals in this country than people? I think it's pretty much an accepted fact. We just spoke to Millie there, who says that cats are more important than starving children in Africa. Why? Well, she can have a cat sit on her lap and she can stroke it. Ah, really? And there's that whole argument, isn't there? Well, animals can't speak for themselves, so we need to protect them. Yeah, of course we do. We are God's park keepers, if you want to look at it in that way. It's a nice way of looking at it. And we're here to look after things and protect them. Yeah, of course. If you've got the choice, though, between saving a cat or saving a kiddie, you're going to pick the kiddie every single time, aren't you? Well, yes, you are, unless you're Millie. 03453 009956 is the telephone number. Nigel's in Castle Vale. Afternoon, Nigel.
Good afternoon, Ian.
I keep going to say morning because of the morning show I do here on Saturdays.
I know the feeling.
Yes, exactly. Confused. Anyway, Nigel, what have you got for us?
Okay, I have a theory on why people consider animals over children, over other people.
Go on.
And I believe it is because animals, especially dogs, are just obedient. They just do what they're told, no questions asked, they don't answer back.
Aye.
They're little pets. And I think it's the paternal and maternal instincts kicking in with animal lovers. I'm an animal lover myself,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But speaking as an animal lover, I think, and my observations of other people, is that animals are obedient.
I'm pausing just because I'm trying to get my head around it, and I think there might be something in that. That dogs in particular generally do as they are told. You can control them. You can manipulate. Cats you can't do that with. No, Nigel. Cats no. are a law unto themselves.
Exactly. If you throw a stick after a cat, the cat will just turn around at you, and if you could talk, you would say, "Pick it yourself."
Can I tell you what the two worst pets are? And I've had both of them.
What's that?
Goldfish, rubbish. Goldfish keep dying. The number of they just die. We got through about a dozen goldfish in 3 months. And I had to keep telling my little boy, oh, they've gone on holiday. They'll be back at the weekend when the pet shop opens. Goldfish. And the other one, and we've got this today, rabbits. We've got a rabbit. It is rubbish.
Well, I agree. Well,
don't do anything. Rabbits,
well, they're always appetizing, so they die quicker.
Say that again, Nigel, sorry.
They're always happy talking, they saw the burn themselves out.
They are always... Benji lives on his own, so he's never... Nigel, thank you very much indeed. Maximum input, minimum output, as producer Joe just whispered in my ear. Rabbits don't do nothing apart from, like... I mean, I've never seen so much poo. Oh, and it's horrible. And it looks all solid, and it goes all... Anyway. Pauline's in Burton-on-Trent. Good afternoon, Pauline.
Hi, Ian.
Yes, what? Hello?
Yes, what?
Yes, what? I've never had a phone call start like that. It's thrown me ever so slightly, but go on.
OK. First of all, he said, kids, children are obviously more important to you abroad. Right. When I was a kid,
yeah.
I used to watch the programmes in the ads, and starving, right? It's still going on, for goodness sake. Why haven't all the charities helped them or put these women on a pill or done something? It's still going on.
Well, in Africa? No. In Africa, we're talking about?
In Africa.
Yeah. It's, I mean, they're very badly educated over there, Pauline.
All right. Even though now we're, what, nearly 50 years on?
Yeah, well,
from 1960s.
Yeah, they're very badly educated. I believe that lots of them don't use contraceptives for religious purposes. Hey, why don't we have a word with the Pope and get him to change the rules on contraceptives? That might help.
Well, why don't we have a word with the Pope?
Well, why don't we?
But Pauline, young kids.
Pauline, well, okay, let's not go.
Okay, I want to get back to what I've found.
Hang on,
you for,
I know, and I'm going to. I'm just
because I know you like an argument.
Pauline, let me just address the point that you've raised, okay? And let's avoid paedophilia in the Catholic Church for today. That's maybe next week's show. Even if they are having children in Africa willy-nilly, okay?
I'm not bothered. I don't live there, to be honest, Ian.
Do you not? Where do you live? Burton-on-Trent?
Yeah.
That's not in Africa.
Unfortunately.
Okay. But surely we still have to have sympathy and empathy for the starving children
more than we do
for a cat.
For the children.
But not the adults.
Not the adults.
They can.
No.
They can. So what? When they get to 15, you stop caring for them?
Of course not. I don't stop caring for anybody.
Well, but you just said the adults, they can get on with it.
Listen, somebody should have... The money, it's been proven, it doesn't get there, the food, yeah. Everything else.
No, but we can't blame the starving people for that, can we?
Oh, hang on, I phoned up for the animals, to be honest, about, you know, it's been burnt down.
But okay, but
Do you want to talk to that about me or not?
Do I want to talk to that about you? Yeah, go on.
You're not really interested in animals, are you?
Pauline...
It shows very much.
Well, I'm questioning, Pauline. What I'm questioning... Back away. Let's just calm down for a second, because it's only 35 minutes in. Let's calm down. What I'm asking is, I am surprised and amazed that people in this country seem to put more weight in the wealth and health of animals than they do in human beings. That seems to me...
I think you're wrong, but there you go.
Well, tell me why you think
I'm
wrong.
Listen, this was not an accident.
No, I don't.
And I've heard you say earlier.
I don't want to go into the.
We don't want to talk.
We can't, Pauline. We can't,
exactly.
Pauline. We can't for legal reasons. There is a police investigation.
Exactly, I'm agreeing with
okay.
you. Will you let me finish?
No, because I'm worried you're going to say something libelous that will get me, this station, and you in trouble.
No, I'm not saying anything libelous at all.
What I'm saying is, those poor animals had no choice. They were locked in. And I'll tell you something, why. I care for people. But if I hadn't got my animals, it wouldn't have helped me through a lot of stuff.
How have animals helped you?
Well, I've always been an animal lover. I lost Mum and Dad at 15. I used to get up to stairs, and they didn't know about it. But it hasn't just been a one-off thing. It's forever. I've got a German Shepherd, and she's lovely. But...
And does she help you now, Pauline?
Well, I'm not ill.
No, but a bit of company.
No, she's lovely. She's a friend.
Yeah.
And that guy who said you'd manipulate animals, the last caller, you can't. She's a very, very clever dog. You've only got to show her once. And if I was cruel to her, do you know what? I'm sure she'd run off because she's clever. You can't. And I'm going to say something else now.
Go on.
This country, it's going worse.
What?
Why were all those dogs stuck in that bloody hole?
Because people are struggling.
Because you know what?
Yep, no.
They're getting rid of them.
Yeah, because
they have them.
Yeah.
There's puppies stuck there for 12 hours and they expect them to sit there like good ones.
I think part of the reason, Paul, that may be true for some of them. I have heard lots of stories from various animal homes that I've talked to over the last couple of years that animals are being deposited with them because the people who have them, they've lost their jobs and they just can't afford to. They can't afford to feed their families, let alone the animals.
All right, Ian. I'm going to give you another argument. I know you like it. It costs a pound, right?
Yeah.
It costs me. I buy her 2 tins of small food a day.
Yeah.
It costs me £7 a week.
Some people
right?
can't afford that.
Dog biscuits. And I don't drink, I don't smoke,
good
I don't
you.
Go out.
Some people can't afford that. Some parents...
Please don't give me that.
Pauline.
Do you know what?
God.
I see these in Burton, bloody big fat things.
Yes.
They're sitting there
Pauline.
Smoking
Pauline.
And drinking.
Pauline. There are some there are some parents. This is fact, okay? There are some parents who are
No,
Pauline.
What they should do is not get starve the animal.
Pauline, please, let me make my point, then you can respond to it. You're responding to a point I've not made. There are some families who are having to not feed themselves. Parents are foregoing their own meals so they can feed their children. So you can understand why they would want to get rid of their pets.
Do you know what? It's only come up in the last few years because there's too many of us.
Okay, Pauline, thank you very much indeed. 03453 009956. It's a horrible reality that I've spoken to them. There are some parents who are foregoing their own meals to feed their kids. So you can understand why some of these people then decide, you know what, I think we should probably get rid of the dog. £7 a week. To you, Pauline, don't sound a lot. To me, nothing. To a lot of people, £7 a week is a significant amount of their income. 03453 009956.
Took away the prophet's dream for a prophet on the street. Now she's stronger than you know. A heart of steel starts to grow. All his life he's been told he'll be nothing when he's old. All the kicks and all the blows he won't ever let it show. 'Cause he's stronger than you know. A heart of steel starts to grow. When you've been fighting for it. Superhuman, it's time to fly. You've been fighting for it all your life.
out of control, cause they're taking too much hits, they go blow by blow. Now light him at stand back, watch him explode. She's got lions in her heart, a fire in her soul. He's got a beast in his belly that's so hard to control, cause they've taken too much hits, they go blow by blow. Now light him at stand back, watch him explode, 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 explode. When you've been fighting for it all your life, struggling to make things right. That's how a superhero learns to fly.
That's a band called The Script and their song Superheroes. Huh? Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. You may have heard me Saturday mornings, 9 till 12, where I've been for about, I don't know, 8 months, 9 months. Well, the fools here at BBC WM have given me Friday afternoons as well, 2 till 4. So it's me and producer Joe here on Fridays, 2 till 4, and also Saturday mornings, 9 till 12. The way it works, I talk about stuff, you phone in. It's pretty simple, really. We'll be talking about kids not owning books, not reading, and having, oh, shock, horror, disgusting, TVs in their bedrooms. Awful, if that's the case. We'll also be talking about men crying. But right now, we're talking... Well, it's a conversation that started off because of this horrible fire at the dogs' home in Manchester, where I think 40 dogs were killed. Hundreds of people drove from all over the place to rescue these dogs. And it happened last night. Already now, there's over £500,000 has been raised. It's great. It was a horrible thing that happened. Well done. But why in this country do we seem more concerned about animals than we do about humans? We've already had one caller who said, I'm paraphrasing slightly, that cats were more important to her than starving babies in Africa. You can stroke a cat. You could probably stroke a starving baby in Africa if you so wanted. It seems completely screwy to me that anyone could think a cat was more important than a starving baby anywhere in the world. 03453 009956 is the phone number. Trevor, stay there. I'll come to you in a second. John's in Great Barr. Morning. I'm doing it again. Afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Ian. I trust you're well.
No, I'm very well. What have you got for us?
Right, what I'm concerned about is it's okay having these charities either for animals or for people, but it's the despots giving the money off, especially in the African countries. They're buying armour-plated stress limos, grand houses, etc. I mean, we had a report just recently on the 31st of August about the Ice Bucket Challenge. And their directors, the one getting 200,000 a year, another 120,000, another 110. You know, so charity, where does it begin?
John, there are so many great points in here that I can't pick at all of them. Let me pick a few that kind of that struck me as you said them. The first one, yeah, there are loads of dodge pots getting loads of the foreign aid that we hand out to foreign countries. It doesn't mean, though, surely, does it, that we shouldn't try and help starving children in African countries?
No, providing we've got the people on the ground to supervise where the money's
I'd go along with that, definitely. But you'd agree that a starving child is more important than a flipping cat.
Well, I've got two little kittens, but yes, I would agree that people do come out on top, yeah.
Two questions, John, and I don't say these flippantly. Would you give either of your kittens the kiss of life if you needed to?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
and I'm going to ask a question. It's going to sound flippant, so I want you to think before you answer it. I mean this completely seriously, okay? You've got your two kittens.
Mm-hmm.
If the situation ever arose, would you give them to a starving person to eat?
No.
Boom, there we go, you see. Why not?
No, I'd rather go to KFC or McDonald's and get them a sandwich.
Supposing that wasn't an option. If there was a starving kiddie in front of me and all that was available was my cat, who I've had with me now for 13 years, I'd give him the cat, John.
Oh, You're a fine person there, sir. You're a fine person, but I'm sorry, no. My little kittens mean the world to me.
And also, another thing you said, and this is a talk possible... Well, we can have this conversation today. You mentioned that some of these charities, some of the bosses of these charities earn £100,000, yeah. £200,000 a year. What's wrong with that?
Well, at the end of the day, they are the bosses of these charities.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I mean, you take the average wage in this country, £26,000?
Something like that, yeah.
So the average wage in this country is £26,000. So, OK, pay them a decent wage, £60,000, £80,000, surely that's...
Do you know how difficult it is to run an international charity?
No,
it's really hard, I'd imagine. Never done it, it's really hard to imagine. Now, if you're paying someone a salary of £200,000 a year, if they are able to, via their job, make £201,000 a year, then they're worth that money, aren't they? If they can make more than they are earning for that charity, then they've earned their money. It's worth paying them that.
I'm sorry, my friend. I disagree. I listen to you on a Saturday morning, and I know that you're getting, you know, to these...
No, this is a joke. Okay, here's something.
No, you do. You get confrontational, my friend. You do.
No, I'm just questioning your point. If they raise more money than they're paid, then that's surely worth it. Here's something, Trevor. Here's a confession. Would you like a confession? I once hosted a charity auction. I think it was for a kids' charity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got paid £3,000.
Yeah.
Should I have taken that money, or was that bad of me?
If I'd have been auctioning and got paid £3,000, what I would have done personally, morally, I would have given back £1,000 and said, thank you, £2,000, magic.
Yeah, well, but then I have to pay my agent's fee, 15%. Then I had to pay tax on it.
Mm.
So I come away with about £2,000. So what do I do with that?
For one night's work?
Yeah.
It's not bad, my friend.
It's not bad, is it, John? It's not bad at all. I know, this is how, and do you know what, I've only done it a few times. The first time that kind of job was offered to me, I really questioned it. But this is how these things work. That charity that night, because this was years ago, would have made significantly more money than the fee I was being paid. So where's... And I've done stuff for charity for free. Of course I've done stuff for charity for free, but, you know... 0345... Have I given away too much information? 0345 300 9956.
Ryman now to Bonlahor, the turn and scores! Gabby and Bonlahor.
Friend or foe, we'll share this dream. Let rivalries return. Get behind your team.
And he scores!
You always need someone to share every moment.
Sacco! It's 3-1! Dicko and Sacco celebrating in front of thousands of friends in the South Bank.
We'll be there till the season's end. Your club is our club.
Thomas! Where's Thomas for Birmingham City?
The goal horn awaits, my football friend.
The station for commentary this season.
BBC WM
95.6.
Trevor's in Yardley. Good afternoon to you, Trevor. Thank you for waiting. What have you got for us?
Good afternoon, young man. Hang on, you still there?
Yes, I was waiting for you to continue the sentence.
Sorry.
That's okay.
They're doing this call of badgers.
Yes.
To stop TB.
Yes.
They should do the call of... Foxes.
Foxes. Why foxes, Trevor?
Because they kill me chickens, kill me ducks, kill me geese,
You've got a personal vendetta against foxes.
No, I don't have a personal vendetta against them, but they've killed everything I've got.
I would suggest, Trevor, that you hadn't housed your fowl well enough.
Yes, they are well... They're well penned up.
Well, they're not that well penned up, Trevor. They've all been eaten.
Well, the fox is getting into the pen every night.
Has he got a key?
Yes, he's locked up.
Yeah, he's got. So the fox.
They're getting from underneath the shed.
So what are they digging? And the thing about foxes, this is horrible but true, is they'll go and take one chicken. But they'll kill all the rest, won't they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they do. They'll kill the rest just for the sake of it.
So instead of, and I have no idea how we got to this from a burning dog's home in Manchester, but instead of culling badgers, the government should send all of their special forces to Yardley to kill your foxes.
No, not send them to Yardley. Not send them to Yardley. They should kill these urban foxes.
Trevor, thanks very much. You can't go a little bit wrong with a little bit of Aretha. Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. The way this show works, we throw stuff out, you talk about it, you can call in at any point. We're going to carry on in the next hour the discussion about why Britain is more concerned about animals than humans. And we've had some calls that have really highlighted that. We're also going to be talking about, well, the lack of kids that own a book. There is an initiative to make sure that every child in Birmingham owns a book. We need an initiative for that. Why are you not reading to your children? And here's something. Why are you letting children have televisions in their bedroom? That's awful, isn't it? 03453 009956. Right now on BBC WM 95.6, let's get the travel news. Here's Adam.
Still really busy on the M6 southbound, following a broken down vehicle earlier on at the turns at Stafford, 14 down to 13, although all lanes have been reopened there now. Report of a coach that's broken down on the M5 northbound, junction 1 at West Brom up to the M6 link, and there's been an accident on the inbound Aston Expressway in towards Dartmouth Circus. That's since been cleared, but delays still remain. And the M42 junction 10 at Tamworth, the motorway roundabout there for the A5 there is blocked due to an accident involving a caravan and a lorry. All approaches very slow going. To update me, 08453 002 88.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
What makes a bad parent? Not reading to your children and allowing them to watch television in their bedrooms. We'll talk about that and more after the news with Rob Mayer.
Good afternoon. The former First Minister of Northern Ireland, the Reverend Ian Paisley, has died at the age of 88. The founder of the Democratic Unionist Party, who was famously dubbed Dr. No for his refusal to give ground to Republicans, eventually became the First Minister of the devolved assembly, with the former IRA commander Martin McGuinness as his deputy. Tony Blair, who was Prime Minister at the time of the Good Friday Agreement, said he'd made a huge contribution to a peaceful future for Northern Ireland. The nationalist SDLP MP Mark Durkan has led tributes to Reverend Paisley in the Commons.
Belonging to a different party, I have many differences over the years with Ian Paisley and his views and his stances. However, in all the dealings I and everybody else have with him, he was a man of considerable personal grace. He also was someone who, in spite of the fact that he opposed agreements and institutions, actually came to a position where he helped to ensure that we have a settled process.
The Pakistani army says it's captured a group of gunmen who, it's alleged, tried to kill schoolgirl campaigner Malala Yousafzai. The teenager, who now lives in Birmingham, was shot in the head as she fought for girls to have access to education. Major General Asim Baja told a news conference that 10 men have been arrested in a joint operation involving army, police and intelligence services. A reporter in Pakistan will be speaking to Paul Franks on BBC WM after 4 this afternoon. Oscar Pistorius has been remanded on bail for a month when he'll be sentenced for the manslaughter of his girlfriend. Outside court, his uncle Arnold said the family would not comment on the findings, but they wanted to thank the judge for clearing the athlete of murder.
That's a big burden of us, of our shoulders and Oscar. We always knew the facts of the matter, and we had never any doubt in Oscar's version of this tragic incident.
A former Greater Manchester police officer has said there's been child sexual exploitation in the area on a similar scale to that recently revealed in Rotherham. An inquiry found that more than 1,400 children were abused over a 16-year period. The officer, who didn't want to be named, said many of the girls were in local authority care. A woman's told a court how she froze in horror when a neurosurgeon from Birmingham subjected her to a lengthy sexual assault during a medical examination. The 26-year-old had been referred to the specialist Nafis Hamid over a back problem. He denies 14 charges of sexual assault against 10 women at Birmingham's Queen Elizabeth and Priory hospitals. And £750,000 has been raised to help a dog's home in Manchester, which was severely damaged in a fire last night. More than 60 dogs are feared to have died in the blaze, while around 150 animals were rescued. A 15-year-old youth has been arrested on suspicion of arson. Birmingham Dogs Home have told BBC WM they're offering their help. Looking at the weather, dry for the rest of today, sunny spells, highs of 21 Celsius, 70 Fahrenheit, a mixture of cloudy patches and clear spells tonight, lows of 10 Celsius, that's 50 Fahrenheit, and over the weekend, both days looking fine and dry, some sunny spells and highs of 21 Celsius, that's 70 degrees Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News, there's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Interesting what Rob was saying there. We were saying that this dog's home in Manchester had raised £500,000. Well, it would appear in the last hour it's gone up to £750,000. Is this reminiscent of... who was that young gentleman? Stephen Sutton, wasn't it? The young gentleman who was very poorly, and he came up with a bucket list. And one of them was to raise loads of... Well, I think it was to raise £500,000 or something for Teenage Cancer Trust, and he ended up raising millions. Millions. And it kind of grabbed the nation, didn't it? We were all... Do you remember, for a few brief weeks, we were all joined in feeling good and, you know, empathy and giving and stuff. And then he passed away. But he achieved a lot in his short life. He achieved a lot more than I've ever done. A lot more than you've ever done, probably. This dog's home kind of feels like... Not quite the same. It doesn't have the... Well, literally doesn't have the humanity of Stephen's story, of course, in the fact that these are dogs that we are talking about. But it seems to be gaining public support and sympathy and empathy. And I just wonder why we seem to invest so much time in animals at the cost, at the neglect of humans. Seems obvious to me that humans will always be more important than animals. 03453 009956. Mark, stay there. I'll come to you in a second. I just want to kind of set up what we're going to be talking about as well this hour. Men crying before 4 o'clock. Pictures of Oscar Pistorius sobbing. Some people don't like men crying. I wept like a baby last week, watched a really sad film, and I had a handkerchief out, and I was sobbing, and it was flipping brilliant. I loved it. It's cleaning the soul. We'll talk about that. Also want to talk about a story I saw in the Birmingham Mail today, that there is a campaign to make sure that every child in Birmingham owns one book. Sorry, what? We have to have a cam. And listen, it's a great idea. It's great that people are doing this. I was just surprised that we need to have a campaign to make sure that every child in Birmingham owns a book. You can get books in kids' books in a charity shop for 25 pence. 25 pence. I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm all right, thanks. We've got loads of books for the kids. Some houses don't own a book for their children. If that's you, can you give me a call? 03453 009956. I do think... Am I going to phrase it like this? Yes, I am. What the heck? I do think if you don't read to your children, that's some form of abuse, isn't it? Isn't it? You're excluding them from so much. Yes, your time may be limited as to how much you can read to them, but if you can't sit down and read to them, what, one little book once a day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? That's awful, isn't it? And just going off on a slight side thought with that, you'll notice I like my tangents. If you're a parent and your children have got a television DVD player in their bedroom, well, that is just awful, isn't it? My boy's never going to happen. Never going to happen. It's all. I've heard stories of kids as young as 2 or 3 having DVDs in their rooms and falling asleep. Instead of falling asleep to a story or a song, they fall asleep watching a flipping Little Mermaid or something. Kids with TVs in their bedrooms, it is wrong. 03453 009956 is the telephone number. I've had too much coffee. I'm a little bit windy, Pops. Let's go to Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Ian. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm a bit windy, Pops, Mark. I've had too much coffee, but we'll get by. What have you got for us?
I used to listen to your programme when you was on Three Counties.
Oh, blimey. I've heard of that place.
Yeah, I did rats in a block of flats, actually, and you were talking to me about it.
Oh, yeah, you're a pest controller, aren't you?
That's it, mate, yeah.
I remember you very, very... Well, then maybe you can help. We had a gentleman earlier on who was upset with foxes.
Yeah, that's something we deal with.
Do you shoot them?
Yes, I do.
Beautiful.
Yeah, basically, I'm licensed to do that. We're a professional company. We only do it by legal and lawful methods.
Yeah.
What we do, we won't do it between March and August because the vexillers looking after their cubs. So, you know, we won't dispatch them during that period. But from now until February, when basically all the animals are adults, we will trap and dispatch, yes.
I love your use of the cold and clinical phrase, dispatch. Is there not a part of you, Mark? Is there not a part? I saw a cat. I saw a dead cat the other day in the road, and a little bit of me became a 12-year-old idealist, and I got very upset. Is there not a part of you, Mark, when you put a bullet through a fox's eyes, that your soul sinks a little bit?
I wouldn't put it through his eye. It'd be the back of the head, to be honest with you. Basically, the way I look at it is, if I don't do it, someone else is probably going to do it in an unlawful way, which is going to cause more suffering to the fox. So my job is to do it as quickly, efficiently and humanely as possible.
If the thing is, if these foxes are eating all of his geese and then his chickens and then his ducks, he's not got a very good pen. Part of the responsibility has to be his, doesn't it?
Well, I think, you know, we get this a lot. I mean, a lot of pests are caused by people leaving food, etc., overfeeding the birds, things like that. You know, it's what they've got in their garden a lot of the times that will bring in the pests. Properly proofing up the area to prevent the fox getting in is definitely the first course of action. But they can cause a lot of damage. We've had calls for schools where they're worried about the droppings carrying toxoplasmosis to the kids.
Oh, blimey.
So, you know, we'll get called in for that reason as well. But there's a lot of them, and there's not very many people that do the type of work that I do. We do get a lot of business.
Mark, thank you very much indeed. I was almost tempted then, to do the phone-in ever killed an animal. But I think after the news, I think maybe we'll wait a few weeks. I think it will be tasteful to wait a few weeks. Maybe at the end of September I'll tell you my story about a cat in Spain. It really is. 03453 009956. If you don't read to your children, that's a form of abuse. And if you allow your kids to have a television in their bedrooms, that's just awful, isn't it?
It's just too late.
flipping love that song. It's from a film, isn't it? It's a film called Electric Dreams, I think. And it's about a man. As far as I've never seen it. Remember it coming out? It's about a man who spills champagne on a computer and the computer becomes sentient and they fall in love with each other. Isn't that weird? We've got some texts here. Keith and Tamworth. Oh, we were talking about... we've talked about so many things. It's really hard to sum up. But we were talking to one of the callers about poverty and about how everyone can afford to feed a pet. And I said, well, there are some families where the parents are having to forego their own meals to feed their kids in this country. It happens in this country. It's mad, isn't it? Keith says, Ian, in my line of work, I know many families claiming poverty and visiting food banks, but one or both parents are on a £100 a day heroin habit, shoplifting clothes and perfume to pay for it. Be honest, Keith, I'm sure there possibly are some. I'm sure there possibly are a few. £100 a day is a lot of heroin. That is a lot of heroin. I'm sure there are some. I'm sure it's the minority. There really are in this country people who are unable to feed their kids. They can't. So they don't have meals themselves. So you can understand, if they've got a dog or a couple of cats and they're struggling to feed the family, that £7, £8, £9 a week to feed their animals suddenly becomes very, very significant. And you can understand why some of them say, I think we should get rid of the dog. And that is obviously the right thing to do, isn't it? That's obviously the right thing to do. 03453 009956. Ian, your show is like entering the Twilight Zone, says Chris. I'm assuming that's a good thing. I don't know. Ian, my dogs are always pleased to see me, unlike my family. Dogs all the way, says Jane. Ian, to hell with humans. I would rather give to an animal charity, says Carl in Tamworth. Well, there you go. 03453 009956. I'm going to move on to something else, but you can still call in about that. And also, you can kind of phone in, you know, for anything. We're not one of those shows that's very structured, as you may have noticed, an hour and 15 minutes into the first one. Not very structured. But you can kind of phone in and say, hey, I think you should be talking about this. And if we don't fit it into today's show, well, then we'll squeeze it into tomorrow's show between 9 and 12. So everyone gets a fair crack of the whip, I like to think anyway. Now, reading to your kids. I'm so lucky. I've got two boys, 4.5, 2.5. My eldest had to have a general anaesthetic today. His two front teeth have, for various reasons, not through lack of brushing, but they've gone infected. So he had to have a general anaesthetic and have his teeth taken out, bless him. But I'm blessed because both of them, from a very young age, like reading. Even before they could read, they would sit there with books and comics and they would look at them, look at the pictures. The other day, I was really tired and I just wanted to veg out in front of the telly with the kids. And my boy said, Daddy, can we turn the TV off and will you read to us? Part of my heart sank. And then I thought, no, fair play. That is brilliant. Yeah, of course. Let's turn the telly off. Go and get me some books. Let's sit down and let's have a read. Are you a bad parent if you don't read to your kids? I do think it's a form of abuse. A new initiative is giving every child in the city the chance to own a book. I get mixed feelings when I read that sentence. Great idea, brilliant. But that means that some kids in the city don't own books, and that really makes me sad. Birmingham's Year of Reading is setting to tackle out the problem that some children don't have access to books at home, affecting their future prospects. The Year of Reading project will see the Library of Birmingham send schools new library cards in bulk, while a bookseller has pledged to supply a choice of children's books so that teachers can choose a book each for 120,000 children in the Birmingham Education Partnership's 270 schools. Well, well done, that bookseller. Let's find out the name of them if we can. Sarah Smith is head teacher at St John's Primary in Sparkhill and vice chair of the Birmingham Education Partnership. Sarah, I'm really torn by this because I think it's a brilliant idea, but it breaks my heart that some kids and some, they don't own books.
Hi, Ian. Yes, that's right, I'm afraid. I mean, we feel sorry about that too, which is part of one of the reasons we've got this initiative running this year as part of our Birmingham Educational Partnership Year of Reading. And just as you mentioned, it's Peter's Booksellers in Bromsgrove Street in Birmingham that we've partnered with to get this offer out.
Are they the ones that are giving out the free books?
They're working with us on a short list of books that will be available for schools to buy into, to give out to pupils if they want to join us on this initiative.
And what's the name of the bookshop? Because I think they should be well and truly applauded.
It's Peter's Booksellers in Bromsgrove Street, Birmingham.
Well, if there is indeed a Peter who runs Peter's Booksellers, well done you. It's a cracking idea. How many kids do we know? How many houses, how many homes don't have books for their kids?
Well, I don't have an exact figure on that, but if I tell you that in my own situation, we've got about 72 families in our nursery. We've just completed a round of home visits there, and we're about 50% of our children, we would say, are living in an environment where they don't have an access to books.
I'm genuinely speechless by this. I remember I was reading to my youngest, and he was probably just turned one, and we had, let's say, a friend round with their little girl who was a little bit older. And I said, "Oh, does she want to come and sit and have a story?" "Oh no, she doesn't really like books." And then they said, "You're reading to your one-year-old. He won't understand it." And I said, no. It's not about whether they understand it or not. It's about the intimacy of sitting with that child. It's about the sharing. And it's about the educating that you can get stuff from these weird little things that you hold in your hands.
Oh, I agree with you, absolutely. It really is about helping to support and strengthen that bond between yourself and your child, between anybody reading with a child. And it just opens that whole world, doesn't it, of discovery and imagination. You know, it fosters creativity, it widens your experiences, it gives you a whole vocabulary, and hopefully widens people's aspirations too. I couldn't agree more with you.
Do you think that we rely on television too much these days?
I think television is a huge player, but more than that, it's the whole digital age, isn't it, with technology. There's a whole range of different technologies which suck up our time and energy too. I think as well, actually, some families come from a background where they haven't had experience of books themselves. Mm. I think the libraries in Birmingham, you know, we have a good network of community libraries, but some of our families who are perhaps new to the city don't know about libraries or aren't able to easily access them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think along with the book project, we're trying to help families find and access libraries as well, so that although they might not be able to afford books, they can actually get access to them.
I am a huge fan of libraries. Although now that I've got boys, we take them to the library now. You're allowed to make noise in libraries. Well, I remember being 5 years old, and when I used to live in Slough, of all places, and being told off for making noise in the library and kicked out. But now it seems pretty much anything goes in those places. When did that happen?
Oh, well, I'm not sure, but I think getting children reading puts the idea of noise to one side a little bit. We'd rather see them with a book, wouldn't we?
Oh, totally. It's a year of reading project. What else have you got planned, Sarah? What else is going to happen?
Well, we're joining up with other organisations that are working in the city already. So, obviously, the New Library of Birmingham, Oxford University Press are supporting us, Birmingham Trinity Mirror Group with their campaign of Born and Bred in Birmingham, the Children's University, Peter's Books, as we've all talked about, they're all running lots of events that that children and staff and parents can get involved with to make reading exciting, really.
So, favourite children's book, please?
My favourite children's book?
Favourite children's book, yes.
Oh, it has to be Funny Bones by the Albergs.
Oh, I don't know Funny Bones.
Oh, I really like that.
We're a big fan of Julia Donaldson in my house. Snail and the Whale for me.
Gruffalo?
Yeah, the boys like the Gruffalo. I know it's not all about me. I'm not so keen on that. I think she's done she does the well-dressed giant. I can't get the title. Smartest giant in town. She's Squash and a Squeeze. Trying to remember now because I've not been in the kids' room for a couple of days. I think Julia Donaldson just nails it on the head every single time.
Do you know Peace at Last is another favourite one of mine? Have you read Peace at Last?
Peace at Last about the elephants where she's trying to have a bath.
That's correct. That's right. And what's just great, I'm sure you've had this experience, that reading with a small child, when they start finishing off the sentences, they know what's coming next. It's just amazing, isn't it?
It's magical. It's one of those spiritual moments where you can be... And people say, oh, yeah, but when I get in from work and I've had a... No. This will uplift your soul. Go and read to them for 5 minutes. It's just a wonderful connection.
Do you know, I think the thing is, Ian, is not only does it obviously give children a better chance in life if they can read well, but actually it's so pleasurable. We want them to enjoy it.
Pleasurable. Sarah, I wish you'd been my head teacher at a primary school. It sounds like your kids are very, very lucky.
Oh, well, thanks. Let's hope that everybody benefits from the initiative across the city.
Excellent stuff indeed. Sarah Smith, head teacher at St John's Primary in Sparkhill, vice chair of the Birmingham Education Partnership. I've gone a little bit tingly. She was brilliant. We can do that as a little phone-in or a text-in if you want. Your favourite kids' stories, either now or when you were kids. Charlie and the Chocolate... I'm waiting for my boys to be old enough to read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We'll have some of that. 03453 009956.
On September the 18th, will Scotland vote for independence or to stay part of the United Kingdom? The BBC's online coverage will keep you up to date with every development.
We've brought together the biggest names in Scottish politics to debate the country's future.
Plus, in-depth analysis, expert opinion and live streaming of the key moments.
It will be the people that make the choice, and it's a choice about what is Scottish society going to become.
The Scottish Referendum, across the BBC, on TV, radio and online. For more information, search online for BBC Scotland Decides.
If you want to give us a call about... It was a bit loud, Phil. If you want to give us a call about your favourite kids' book now, if you're reading to your kids, or when you were a child, 03453 009956. I still buy into this thing. If you're not reading to your kids, if you're allowing them to watch DVDs in their bedroom, that's some form of abuse, isn't it? That's bad parenting. It's got to be. Here's Phil Collins and Philip Bailey, An Easy Lover.
Just trying to make you see.
Gentlemen, when was the last time you had a cry? A good cry. There's nothing wrong with it, is there, Fetwit? It's 2014. We're all in touch with our feminine emotional sides. And women, you love it when blokes cry, don't you? Is there anybody out there who thinks it's wrong for fellas to have a cry? Give me a call. Last 30 minutes of the show. 03453 009956. It's BBC WM 95.6. Let's get the travel news now. Here's Adam Crowther.
The M6 southbound, slow following a broken down vehicle earlier, junction 14 to 13 at the Stafford turn, so expect delay on that southbound stretch through the roadworks. It's also busy northbound, 10A up to 12 the A5 at Gailey as the works continue there, and also Friday traffic starting to build on the M42 northbound now, 3A up to 4 at Shirley and Dorridge. Into Birmingham City Centre, the Aston Expressway. There was an accident there earlier on that had it blocked for a short while at Dartmouth Circus. All lanes have been reopened, but it is still incredibly busy. And elsewhere around the city, quite busy around the Five Ways Island, onto the Hagley Road out to the Plough and Harrow traffic lights. Also, the trains, there's some problems for all services between Birmingham New Street and Wolverhampton. That's owing to some overhead line problems at Dudley Port earlier on this afternoon. Trains for the moment won't be calling at Sandwell and Dudley on Virgin Cross Country and Arriva Trains Wales services. If you see a problem or can update us, call BBC CWM 95.6 travel on 0845.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Hey, it's the first mistake of the day. Let's get the news now. Here's Rob Mayer. Rob.
Good afternoon. Tributes have been paid to the former leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, Dr. Ian Paisley, who's died at the age of 88. For decades, he led opposition to cooperation with the IRA in Northern Ireland, but later he went into devolved government as First Minister, with former IRA man Martin McGuinness as his deputy. The Pakistani army has claimed that it's captured a group of gunmen who it alleges tried to kill schoolgirl campaigner Malala Yousafzai. The teenager, who now lives in Birmingham, was shot in the head as she fought for girls to have access to education. We'll hear from a reporter in Pakistan after four on BBC WM. A woman has told a court how she froze when a Birmingham neurosurgeon sexually assaulted her for 20 minutes. The woman had been referred to Nassif Hamid for back problems. He denies 14 sexual offences against 10 women at the QE and Priory hospitals. An Oscar Pistorius has been released on bail after being found guilty of culpable homicide or manslaughter. The judge found he was negligent in firing the shots which killed his girlfriend Reva Steenkamp. He'll be sentenced next month. Looking at the weather, dry for the rest of today, some decent sunny spells, highs of 21 Celsius, that's 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country, BBC WM 95.6.
It was all going so smoothly, and then my fat fingers got involved and it all went bottoms up, I think is a way we can say. Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, here every Friday from 2 till 4 with producer Joe. We're also here every Saturday between 9 and 12 in the morning. More of the same. I guess the only difference between this and the Saturday show is it's longer, so there's kind of more time for it to breathe a little bit. No music as well. It's weird playing music, isn't it? But it's longer. Listen, if you've not got on today, do listen tomorrow and you can get on. It's not one of those shows. I do feel I need to kind of set my stall out a bit and explain the rules. It's not one of those shows where we talk about one thing for 20 minutes, then we stop, then we move on to something else, then we stop, and then we... It doesn't work like that. I'll throw stuff out. You want to talk about it? You do. You want to talk about something else? Give us a call and we'll probably put you on. If we don't put you on today, then we'll definitely get you on the Saturday show. The phone number, 03453 009956. We've been talking about if you don't read to your kids, you're a bad parent. If you have TVs and DVD players in your kids' bedrooms, you're a bad parent. Seems obvious to me. 03453 009956. And also, we started talking off... We'll talk about men crying in a bit. I've not forgotten that. But we started talking off about this horrible fire at the dog's home in Manchester. Over £750,000 has been raised just today. Why do we as a nation seem to care more about animals than humans? We had a caller an hour ago who said that cats were more important than starving children in Africa. 03453 009956. Dave's in Albury. Afternoon, Dave.
Afternoon, yeah.
What you got for us?
Well, the thing is, these poor dogs that have died or have been harmed in this Manchester Dogs Aren't thing, they wouldn't be in there, would they, if the so-called owners hadn't either mistreated them or thrown them out. You know, they're not animal lovers if they're going to do that, are they?
Well, I think there are some exceptions it's that old thing of you get a dog and then 3 months later go, flipping it, it's an half hard work, and you get rid of it. That, I think, is appalling. I think you should have to research before you get an animal. I think for dogs, I think you should probably have to sit a little test or something to show you're serious. But there are some people, Dave, who will sadly have gotten rid of those dogs, you know, through as their children cry, and it's simply because they can't afford to look after the dogs. And I think those people... You can't judge quite so harshly, can you?
No, but they should have looked into it, shouldn't they? Before they had them.
But maybe they've lost their jobs.
I love animals. I do part-time work for an animal charity, and I see some really bad cases of cats and dogs. You know.
Dave, while I've got... Sorry just to go off on a tangent, but while I've got you online, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Oscar Pistorius crying in the papers.
No.
Okay, he's the athlete, and he's been found not guilty of murder. He's been found guilty of manslaughter, culpable homicide. Mm. Been crying a lot throughout the court case, crying through the papers. And I know there are some people who have done the old, oh, for goodness sakes, man up. Now, I was watching a really beautiful, sad documentary last week. It's wonderful. I'll lend it to you, Joe. You might like it, okay? And I was sobbing like a baby. I was wailing. I was in the house on my own, and I just let it go. When was the last time you had a good cry, Dave?
About 2 months ago, when my cat went in for an operation, I thought I was going to lose him. Now you can laugh at that.
There's no laughter here. Listen, as I've mentioned before, I've got a cat, Velvet. I've had her for 13 years now, and she's getting on. She's 15 now. When she goes... Boy, oh boy, it's going to be a sad radio show. I will be in floods of tears, so I can totally get it. And you were you on your own, Dave, or were you with someone?
I was on my own, and my vet is brilliant. He says, my vet turned around and says to me, he said, it's not him and the animal, it's him, the animal, and the owner. That's what my vet's like, and he comes to me and put his arm around me.
I'm genuinely welling up a little bit because there will be people laughing, Dave. Don't matter. I totally get it. In fact, we're on our second rabbit. Our first rabbit only lasted a few months. And I noticed he was really ill. I had to hide it from my boys. And I drove him to the vet late on a Sunday night. And the vet said, I'm going to have to put him down. And I was in floods of tears, partly because I was losing the rabbit, partly because I didn't want to break the news to the boys. But I was in floods of tears.
I can believe it.
Dave, thank you for sharing that with me. I really appreciate that. There you go, you see? Dave cried a few months ago. He thought his cat was going to die during an operation. And there's no shame in that. That was beautiful, wasn't it, Helen?
Yes, it was beautiful.
I totally get where he's coming from. What do you think when men cry, Helen? Do you find it touching, or do you think it's a little bit drippy?
I embrace it. I completely embrace it. I've only ever seen my father cry twice. Once we'd lost absolutely everything, and my father sat at the bottom of the table, at the kitchen table, and I held him in my arms.
How old were you, Helen?
I was 15. No, I wasn't. I was 18.
And you say you'd lost everything. You know, share as much as you'd like or not, but what do you mean by that?
We had house repossessed. And everything, we'd lost a lot. And then the second, we'd just lost everything.
Yeah. And he sat there and just cried?
He just sobbed. Wow. And sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And I held him in my arms. And I thought, this is a man. This is a man who thought he'd done everything for everybody and couldn't hold it all together. And we lost everything. Home, everything, possessions, everything gone.
Gosh.
And the second time I saw my father cry was when he lost his mum.
Both incredibly significant moments in any person's life, possibly more significant in a man's life. I don't know. That bears thinking for another day. But only twice. I'm saying only twice. My dad passed away last year. I never saw my dad cry. Never saw it.
I think... From perspective of elder men, it's not the thing to do.
Mm.
They do it very, very privately. My husband lost his parents in a matter of 2 years, and at the funeral, my husband shed a few tears. Not a lot of tears, but I have seen my husband cry once.
Gosh. Helen, that incredible story, thank you. That's not even what you called in about.
It isn't.
Let's move on.
I was listening to... I was coming up the M6 from Birmingham, listening to the radio, and I'm going, I've got to ring, but I can't because I'm driving.
Good for you. Well done. Obeying the laws of the land. We appreciate that. You. What prompted you to call in?
One about the dogs.
Yeah.
The dog's home. I was with my mum today, and we were discussing this. My mum and dad sitting in the kitchen, and we were discussing the dog's home. And my mum sat there and she went, would that even raise that much money if it had been a children's home? No.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Hopefully we will never find out. But
aren't they insured?
Well, this is the point. I'm glad. Thank you. This is the point I raised earlier. Off air. What are they going to do with that money? Because, yeah, I'm assuming that the whole thing's insured.
So they're going to build a bigger building to get more dogs in. But aren't they insured?
Yeah, the insurance.
They're asking for people who are local builders merchants, you know, to come in and help build it back up again. They're insured. How do they get the money off the insurance? You know, it's terribly sad.
Yeah.
Very, very sad. I have two Labradors. If my kids were starving, yes, I'd cook them.
Yeah. I would do the same. I would totally do the same. And the insurance point is a great point. I forgot to mention that on air. Yeah, they'll be insured. So where is this £750,000 going to go? What's that going to do?
What if there's a kid down the road who is... You know, I go into the local shop and they're getting something. They go, oh, I'm 1 pence less. And I go, there's the pence.
Yeah.
There's the 1 pence.
Yeah.
Have it. It's okay. But people don't think logically.
And Helen, you also wanted to talk about books. I'm only moving on just because we're going to...
I'll do books and then I need to ask you one other thing.
Go on then, quick.
Right, books. We have loads of books in our house. Yeah. We have bookshelves everywhere. We have to take them to the charity shops because they've been read and read and read.
Beautiful.
The thing is now that you get Kindles.
Oh, no.
My children love reading.
Oh.
But we go on holiday a lot.
Yeah.
So rather than taking all the books with us, we've bought them Kindles.
Oh, no, Helen, I've gone off you a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm not...
Well, I love my Kindle.
I'm not...
I can read 10 books on my Kindle.
Do you know what?
I can't take them on holiday. I can't take 10 books on holiday.
We might carry the Kindle book debate over to tomorrow's show because I don't buy into that. I like to sit there...
You like flicking pages.
I like smelling books.
Yes.
Smell an old book, man.
I know, they're beautiful, and I love going into charity shops and getting books out and smelling them, I do.
Listen, Helen, I've got to squeeze in the kinks.
I need to ask you this one thing.
Go on, quickly, yes.
Right, if there's anyone out there who knows an Alan Jordan, who used to be a union representative of the NGA.
Yeah.
He was a friend of Tony Nicol, Tony Nicol has died. And his daughter has rang me, because I used to work in the printing industry, to find Alan Jordan. He used to work for the NGA.
Yeah.
And the funeral is on Friday. If you want to give my phone number out, that is absolutely fine.
We won't, because you'll get a lot of calls from, well, some of the weirdos that phone this.
Well, that's all right.
Helen, give out his name one more time.
Right, Alan Jordan.
Yep.
Who in the 80s and early 90s used to work for the NGA.
Yeah.
His family of Tony Nicol would really like him if he's still around.
Helen, listen, I tell you what, because I've got to move on. Can you give us a call tomorrow? Because we've done this before, didn't we? Have someone, producer Joe, who was hunting someone down, and we found out. Helen, give us a call tomorrow. If anyone's listening who knows that person, 03453 009956. I'm only moving. We finish in 17 minutes. Blimey.
Taxman's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht, he's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny
presently. Live this life of luxury, lazing on a sunny afternoon. In summertime, in summertime, in summertime. My girlfriend's run up with my car and gone back to her mom's bar, telling tales of drunkenness and cruelty. Now I'm sitting here, sipping at my ice cold beer, blazing on the sunny afternoon. Help me, help me, help me sail away. Well, give me two good reasons why.
Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. We'll be here every Friday now between 2 and 4, and also every Saturday morning between 9 and 12. 03453 00 9956. Men, when was the last time you had a cry? And women, do you like men who cry? Do you find it, I don't know, empowering? Or do you think it's a little bit of a turn-off? Well, the reason this kind of came up in conversation, pictures all over the papers today of Oscar Pistorius sobbing after being cleared of the murder of Reeva Steenkamp. The South African sprinter has been found guilty of culpable homicide today, manslaughter. Well, it's kind of got us talking about men crying. Now, listen, I haven't got a problem with it at all. As I said last week, I was watching a great documentary called Young at Heart, right? It's about this choir in America of people in their 70s and 80s, and they sing like David Bowie, Talking Heads. It's wonderful. I wept like a baby. And it was great. Well, I'm joined now by Colonel Richard Kemp, who was commander of British forces in Afghanistan. Good afternoon to you, Colonel.
Good afternoon.
Are you a crying person? What do you think of men crying?
The answer is I'm not, no. I think in some circumstances it's a kind of emotional response which is unavoidable. And I think, you know, for my military experience, of course, soldiers get involved in very tragic things. They see their friends die beside them, and they go to funerals of their comrades who have been killed in action. They sometimes get hurt a huge amount themselves. So I think in those circumstances, it'd be surprising if they didn't sometimes cry. I think in reaction to stress and pressure, and the sort of situation that the Oscar Pistorius was in yesterday, I think, again, you know, some people can't help it, but within the military, I think, you know, maybe someone being shouted at by a sergeant major if they burst into tears, that would be seen as distinct weakness.
That possibly wouldn't go down quite so well. Do you think that was in you before you joined the military, Colonel, or was that kind of knocked into you?
Well, as you'd expect, as a military type, I've always had a stiff upper lip, and it's never quivered once that I can recall. No, I think to be serious, it's I've never been the sort of person that would cry, and it's in my childhood. It wasn't really, you know, people fell over, grazed their knee, and that sort of thing, or whatever, and probably cried then. But I think, you know, as you get a little bit older, I think it was always regarded in my childhood as being a very, very distinct sign of weakness in a boy to cry, and you wouldn't do it, you know, unless you absolutely had to.
Is it a generational thing? Because we have kind of gone slightly the other way, and I kind of blame this on America, if indeed blame is the right word, that we have, we are encouraged as men now to be more in touch with our emotions, to you know, to talk more about how we're feeling and to express ourselves. Do you think that it's a generational thing, or do you think it's a weakness that some men do this?
I think it is generational, and I think it's also, as you say, the influence of countries such as America and European countries. Of course, we're not a European country, though we may be in the EU, but we're not European, and we don't have the same kind of emotional reactions as, say, the French do. And I think, but we have got a lot of our current ways of behaving from the French, the Americans, and so on. And it's not uncommon, I think. You know, I deal quite a lot. I go to schools and speak at schools and things like that a fair bit. I've got children of my own. It's not that uncommon nowadays for boys and men to cry, and I think it's a very, very big change. And it's not just crying; it's, you know, expressing your emotions in an open sort of way is not British.
Do you think
it wasn't British? Maybe today.
Do you think that's going to cause problems 20, 30 years down the line?
I don't really know. It will cause problems. I think maybe it's just a changing. There's so much changing in the world so very fast. It's just something that's changed. I can't initially see what problems it might cause.
Finally, Colonel, let me just put this text we've had from Keith to you. Every time I've had a dog put down due to age or illness, I cried like a baby. Recently, one of my dogs chased a rabbit into the road, was hit and killed. I sobbed uncontrollably. You'd never do anything like that, would you?
I don't think I would, but I wouldn't at the same time. I wouldn't, you know, blame somebody for doing it. You know, I think, you know, as I said, dogs become, you know, very close relations in a way. And, you know, I wouldn't suggest someone was wrong for crying at the loss of a relationship like that any more than if they lost a friend, you know, or a family member. I think these things are quite natural. The fact that I myself doesn't, you know, I wouldn't probably openly cry anyway, not publicly, I think, and probably wouldn't admit to it if I did.
And finally, so just one final thing, you just what you were talking about earlier on. I suppose when you are, when you lose a colleague, a comrade, a friend in battle, you haven't got time to stop and cry, have you? You've got to carry on regardless. Is that part of the training?
I don't think it's part of the training particularly, other than the general hardening up and toughening up you get in training, in military training. But I do agree with you. I think that, you know, I don't think you see that often. You would see a soldier who's lost his comrade or who's seen someone blown to pieces next to him is going to necessarily be crying there and then. I think the time that will happen is maybe when they get back to base, think about it, reflect on it, or indeed go to the funeral. And I think the thing that I've seen triggering soldiers crying at funerals more than anything else is to see the upset of the families, the mothers, the wife, etc., of soldiers killed. I think these are the times when it happens, not, as you say, right in the heat of battle when you've got to be attempting to kill the enemy rather than to wait, you know, spend time crying.
Colonel, I really appreciate your thoughts. It's really interesting. It's Colonel Richard Kemp, was commander of British forces in Afghanistan. Your thoughts, please. We've got a couple of minutes. We can squeeze in a couple more calls. David's in Tamworth. Afternoon, David.
Hello.
He was good, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
I mean, it's a different world to any world that I'm familiar with, and I was quite revealing what he had to say. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the military types are stronger. At my dad's funeral, obviously blurted by, you know, my heart out sort of thing. Sorry, but when we got outside the creme, you know, my cousin's husband said, "Dave, you got to be strong now. You got to be strong." You know. Anyway, when we got to the wake, he found out my father went to all the air shows, and this guy was an RAF tornado pilot. My cousin's husband. Anyway, he said to me, he says, you know, I was having a chat with him. I said, what do we do with the ashes, you know? And he says, well, look, I've spoken to some of his mates, and he liked going to the air shows. He says, if you want, I can arrange for them to be scattered mid-air. And I thought, what a lovely thing to say. We didn't take him up on the offer, but I just thought it was beautiful. But I think the military are really, you know, strong in that aspect that they've, you know, can cope with it better.
Are you the kind of person that cries at a film?
Depends what it is. Probably more documentaries.
Because sometimes, I genuinely think, sometimes it's quite healthy just to let it all out, just to let it all out. And, you know, I mean, I was crying at this film last week. I wasn't really crying about this film. I was probably crying about, I don't know, my dad who died or,
yeah.
You know, it was other things. And the film was just a really good release mechanism that allowed me to express myself.
I think it does let the pressure off, but in close company, but obviously... You know, an important funeral. Yeah, you know, go for it. Why not? Just let it all out.
David, thank you very much indeed. David in Tamworth, that's a good call to end on, I think. Well, that's kind of it. Listen, let me just remind you, Fridays, 2 till 4, it's going to be me here, Ian Lee, and producer Joe will be doing this. We also do Saturdays, 9 till 12, so we may carry some of this over tomorrow. If I know we had lots of people who were trying to get on and couldn't. Give us a call tomorrow. It's a little bit longer, there's no music, it'll be a little bit easier to fit you in. You can also email ian.lee@bbc.co.uk.
They say we're young and we don't know. We won't find out until we grow. Well, I don't know if all that's true, 'cause you got me and baby I got you. Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. They say our love won't pay the rent before it's earned. Our money's all been spent. I guess that's so. We don't have a plot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got flowers in the spring. I got you to wear my ring. Put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you to hold my hand.
Well, there we go. I think we got away with it. I think we got away with our first Friday afternoon show. This is Ian Lee. We'll be here every Friday between 2 and 4, every Saturday between 9 and 12. That includes tomorrow. I was saying, if you want to get in touch, if there's something that you think we should be talking about, could you send me an email, please? And we'll have a look into it. ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. That's the best way to get in touch. Looking forward to speaking to more of you tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Scotland tomorrow. We're going to come up with the pros and indeed the cons. Right, BBC WM 95.6. Let's get the travel news now. Here's Adam Crowther.
Still really busy for you on the M6 north and southbound around junction 14 and 13 at Stafford Turns, and the M5 quite busy as well on the link from junction 1 at West Bromwich to the M6. It's looking quite busy for you if you're heading through Woodsetton, Tipton Road at Marlborough Road, as reports from heavy traffic there as works continue. And through Budbrooks, there was some debris on the Warwick Bypass Road earlier on, away from the M40 junction 15. Around Birmingham City Centre, the Queensway tunnels aren't moving too badly, already slow going around the Five Ways Island onto the Hagley Road though. To update me, 08453 00222.
It's your show and your opinions. The football phone-in is back. Have your say with the legends. Tonight from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
4 o'clock on BBC WM. A very good afternoon. Thanks to Ian Lee. He'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Let's get the main news on BBC WM at 4 o'clock with Rob Mayer.